When my brothers and I were little, there was a big tree in our front yard. My oldest brother loved to climb it, but my mom gave him strict instructions that he could only climb the tree when there were leaves on it, or so our family lore is told. When the tree was bare, Mom could see how high my brother was climbing, and this would terrify her. So he could only climb when there was full foliage and could be hidden by the leaves. We heard three stories today that give us sight lines to Jesus. Through high school and college, I worked in the theater, and I remember directors talking to us about sight lines. How do people, even those who are in the back or way off to the sides of the audience, still feel included in the action that is happening on stage? How did we put on a show so that all people would know what had happened? In the first story today, Jesus tells his disciples what will happen when they get to Jerusalem. We are given the insider info on where our Lenten journey is heading, but yet again, they don't see it. I love verse 34, where it says three different ways that they didn't get it. They understood nothing, it was hidden from them, and they did not grasp it. As if the author is driving home how very blind the disciples were, their ears and eyes and minds stopped to the meaning making. The next two stories contrast each other. First, we meet an actual blind man who is sitting by the road begging. He calls out for mercy from Jesus and is given back his sight and affirmed for his faith. And we finish with the beloved text that many of us remember from Sunday school of Zacchaeus up a tree trying to get a view of Jesus. There would have been a lot of cultural assumptions about the blind beggar and the wealthy tax collector, Zacchaeus. What happened to make the man blind? Was it sin? He was begging outside the city, removed from the center of things and sitting on the ground, asking for help, pitied, looked down upon, and excluded. Luke says that Zacchaeus, on the other hand, was wealthy. And surprise, surprise, how did a Roman tax collector get wealthy? By extortion and embezzlement, by taking advantage of the elderly, by exploiting the working poor, and by taking care of his cronies. There's an unspoken assumption of corruption here. Zacchaeus is a man who deserves our disdain. But both of these men want to see Jesus. And Jesus addresses both because he came for the poor and the neglected, as well as the wealthy and despised, reaching out both ways with his love. Jesus came for the lost and the least and the oppressed, and we are used to talking about that. But the Zacchaeus story surprises us by Jesus calling someone who is rich. Zacchaeus leaves his dignity on the ground and climbs up a tree. Unlike my brother, I did not get the skills for climbing, and when I get a few feet off the ground, I feel like I want to throw up. I'm not sure how Zacchaeus felt being up a tree, but it is Jesus who initiates the contact. Jesus looks up. Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. Jesus doesn't call him to anything or ask Zacchaeus to repent. Jesus only asks Zacchaeus to be a host. And unlike the blind beggar who calls out to Jesus asking for mercy, Zacchaeus asks nothing of Jesus, but only responds with hospitality and generosity. Maybe it is the proximity to Jesus that calls him to a dramatic change in his life, his finances, and how he conducts his profession. Do we need to check our assumptions about others and these stories? Do we see ourselves in the middle economically? Not super poor, but not super rich. This story reaches to the edges. The poor that we know that God loves, but that we still hold at an arm's length. We don't want to get dirty. And the rich that we know God loves, but that we look down upon them for having too much money. And we wonder about their ways of getting rich. And it might be a little suspect, and we might not like the choices they make about how they use their finances. Are we part of the oppressors, cutting Jesus off from sight? The crowds sidelined the blind man and tried to silence him as he called out to Jesus. The crowds muttered and grumbled that Jesus is going to be hosted by someone who is tarnished by his money and by who he has gained his power from. What is the challenge here to our way of thinking? Zacchaeus is not despicable, but generous. Sorry for his sins, and ready to change and make restitution. The Episcopal priest, Elizabeth Keaton, notes, Jesus is once again turning our world upside down, confronting us with our assumptions about who is good and who is evil, and demonstrating for us the tricks we play in our minds before we treat one another one way or another. Like the crowd murmuring about Zacchaeus, it is easy to be blinded by our prejudice of those people and find ourselves accusing the very person or people that we should be emulating. In this text, Jesus looks and sees. He stops and waits, meets us where we are, and asks us what we need. The blind man and Zacchaeus are seen in turn, and they truly see who Jesus is. One who comes to seek out and those that are pushed to the margins. When I think about sight lines in the theater, it is about who is included and given access. Yet Jesus throws this wide open to all. My aunt and grandparents went to see the Broadway show of The Lion King for one of their special anniversary presents. Because they got their tickets so far in advance, They got seats right down the front in the second row. They were so close that they could see the sweat on the actors' faces and were in what I would call the spitting range when the actors projected or sang loudly. They saw everything up close. When I went to see the show a few years later, I was seated way up in the balcony, looking down on the action. But what my grandparents couldn't see was the parade of animals coming down the aisles and the grand beauty of the whole stage in one glance. We are given a glimpse of this bigger story of what is coming in Jerusalem in a few weeks. We look ahead, but can we really see to the cross, to death, and then to the hope that is beyond that? Are we blinded like the disciples, a little too close to the action to see the larger stage? The detailed story here is Jesus seeing, hearing, and including those who the crowds and the majority oppress and exclude. Can we see what is coming? We know how the story ends, but not how it will change us. In this season, what are we looking for as Jesus approaches us like he did the blind man and asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" Do we fail to see who Jesus is, or will his closeness transform us, opening our eyes and turning our lives around? Where do you find yourself in today's verses? Are you crying out for Jesus to heal you? Are you hiding in a tree? Are you in a phase of your life where you are seeking Jesus like the blind man, boldly and outspokenly? Or are you seeking Jesus in a curious but distant gaze? Because no matter who you are or where you are, Jesus meets there and grace abounds. Even when we can't see, Jesus is still seeking us out. Jesus knows our names and our lostness, and he calls out to us from whatever tree we are clinging to and takes us home to be transformed. The blind man called out for mercy, and Zacchaeus didn't just want a glimpse of Jesus, but really wanted to see who Jesus was. Not just to look, but to know. May we open our eyes and hearts to this same knowing.